All right, take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew chapter number 16. I said this morning that I was going to mention a little bit about the church plant, the church that we plan on planting. I did send you guys a letter. I don't know if Pastor Evans read that to you or not. He did. Okay. Well, what the plan is and what we believe that the Lord has called myself and my family to do specifically is just to go around planting churches. Myself and my wife and my three boys that are on the front row here, we're just specifically going to be, I guess the technical word would be church planting missionaries. We're not going, you know, sometimes you have church planters that will go plant a church and they'll stay there and they'll pastor that church for however long, you know, the Lord wants them to. But we believe that the Lord wants us specifically just to go to places and to start new works, get new work started, and get it planted for maybe 2 to 3 years or however long the Lord wants, get a good foundation of believers, get a nice building set, get a lot of things settled as far as the groundwork is concerned, and then start searching for somebody else to take over the work, and then we'll move on and we'll go do the same thing in another town, and we'll do the same thing in another town, and however many the Lord wants us to do or wherever he wants us to go, we're open to go wherever he wants us to go. But the town in which he wants us to go this time is Mount Carmel. And I have three towns that the Lord has laid on my heart, and I was praying about it and trying to zero in. I knew after we came back from Lawrenceville, we planted Lighthouse Baptist Church there in Lawrenceville, I knew that was the direction in which the Lord would have us to go. I never really had a desire to pastor an existing church. I always had a desire of just starting a new work and getting things going and going to a place that has no independent fundamental Baptist church in it. And even if it did, you know, maybe it needs another one, because I understand one church, even if you got a town of 10,000 people, I don't think one independent Baptist church could reach all 10,000 people. So I'm not even against that. I'm just simply saying that going to a place or a county that does not even have an independent fundamental Baptist church in it, which Mount Carmel needs one desperately. You know, I go over there often whenever I'm working, you know, driving for UPS, I'll go over there often and see the need. I'm able to kind of look around and just kind of see some buildings that are available and just trying to search and seek out what the Lord would have us to do. You know, I'm praying that the Lord would do the same thing he did for us in Lawrenceville and just give us a building like what happened over there. That was a tremendous blessing. That was just like a gift from God is really what that was. But even if the Lord does it or if he doesn't, we'll just be content with whatever we get. But we are going to do some things a little bit different than what we did last time. Last time, whenever we went and planted Lighthouse Baptist Church in Lawrenceville, we just was just sent out of Calvary Baptist Church there in Olney, and we just went over and started it, and I worked my full-time job. Now, I'm still going to continue to work my full-time job, but I'm going to go around raising some support for the work. So that's actually the, I guess, a small deputation is what you would call it. We're projecting spring of next year is whenever we would like to get the work started, but right now I'm sending out letters, setting up meetings and churches to go present the work, and then as the Lord leads the church, those churches that I'm at, to provide financially, you know, we're just asking, you know, 6 months to a year support, just like you would support a normal missionary the exact same way, but it'd just be 6 months to a year, or however long the Lord wants you to. So we're just asking for, you know, that type of support, or maybe a one-time gift, or possibly if you have some church equipment, you know, we're going to be in need of some church equipment. You know, if you guys have that, I don't know if you do or not, but that's totally up to you and the Lord. Whatever the Lord wants. I've got a pulpit that my dad built me that I took back whenever after we left Lawrenceville and came back. I've got a pulpit. I've got my lapel mic still. I've got some hymn books. You know, I've got a few things. And, of course, from planning a church before, I kind of already have an idea of what we need and what we don't need and some do's and don'ts and some other different things about it. But if you could, just pray for us as we do that. And pray for us as we go about and that the Lord would move on pastors and move on churches to have us in and to have us in to present the work and be able to present the need. Because I know that everybody in here knows that we are in dire need of some good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches in the day and age in which we live. You know, those of you that maybe travel or maybe you go on a vacation, sometimes it's kind of hard to find a good place to go to. Perhaps maybe you're gone on a weekend or you're on a Sunday and maybe you're in a place that you have no church to go to. I remember one time we were actually going down to Tennessee for my brother-in-law. It was whenever he was going to Crown College. And we decided to take like a little family trip, and we were going down, and we figured we was going to stay at Kentucky Lake for a couple days. Now, that was interesting because we stayed at a place we thought was going to be a pretty nice resort, you know, type of thing. It wasn't too nice. But anyways, we were in there for 2 days, and it was a Wednesday night, and I'm sitting here searching, trying to find a good independent Baptist church. You know, you figured being in Kentucky, you're going to find a pretty good independent Baptist church pretty close. I found one and went there, and it was closed. The building was closed, had a for sale sign out front, and that was the only independent Baptist church I could find, at least online. You know, that need is everywhere. It's here. It's in the South. I mean, it's a dire need in America where we need some good, fundamental Baptist churches started. And Lord willing, that's what we're going to be planning on doing in the spring of next year. So whatever the Lord leads you guys to do, yeah, that's between you and the Lord. And you guys just seek the Lord and just pray for us as we do that. All right, Matthew chapter number 16. We're going to begin reading verse number 13. Verse number 13. This is a familiar text, a familiar passage of Scripture that perhaps we have heard preached often, perhaps that we have looked at often. But it is a text that I want us to look at as we think of what is the purpose of Calvary Baptist Church here in Flora. What is your purpose? Why are you here? Why are you here in this building? Why are you here as a group of believers that have joined yourselves together? What is your purpose here in Flora, Illinois? And I believe we can answer these questions from Scripture this evening. Matthew chapter 16, let's begin reading verse number 13. The Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. I want us to focus on that verse, in verse number 18, when Jesus said, I will build my church. And I believe out of this passage and out of other passages, we will get the reason, we'll get the purpose of the local New Testament church in which Jesus Christ started and in which Jesus Christ has given you that privilege of being a part of that local New Testament Baptist church right here in your own town, right here in this building, so that you can fulfill and figure out what your purpose is here in this place. I'd like us to pause for a word of prayer before we go any further. Dear Lord, we come before you, and I thank you so much for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the local church that you have given to us. And I pray, Lord, that you will help this church and also other churches of like faith, and also, Lord, for the churches that we would love to see started, we'd love to see planted, that all of these churches, Lord, will understand their purpose and will fulfill those purposes. But Lord, I just pray that you'll help us never to lose focus of what the true purpose of the church is to be. And I pray, Lord, that if we have lost that focus, that we will regain it, and that we will determine that we're going to do what you want us to do as a local New Testament church. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and I just pray that you'll help us to listen and to obey your truth tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. There's something that the Lord has really been laying on my heart, and something that the Lord has really been opening my eyes to more and more, and I think it should be to all of us as well, is that it's disheartening some good independent Baptist churches or good churches that you know that has the truth and that we love God and we truly, you know, have that desire. We want to do what's right, but it's disheartening sometimes whenever we see those local churches seem like we're sleepy. kind of seems like we're just kind of sitting by and we're just kind of letting things happen. And it's disheartening, isn't it? It's disheartening whenever perhaps you hear of a church that was, you know, really on fire for God, and you knew that they loved the Lord and they were doing something for God, and then all of a sudden it just kind of seemed like the brakes got put on and they just... And it seems like there's like a haze. Have you ever been in a church service and it just feels like there's like a haze over the church service and it's just kind of like everybody's like, they're here, but they're not here, you know what I mean? And if we're not careful, that could very easily happen to your church. That could very easily happen to you. Even though you have the truth, even though you have what's right, you have a desire to do what's right, but all of a sudden a cloudy haze can just sit over you and all of a sudden the church is sleeping and the church is dozy. There was a man not too long ago that stopped by my house and he was trying to talk me into having him redo my roof. I've redid my roof in the back part of my house and I redid the garage, you know, just doing it in sections. But now the two-story part of my house, that one's going to be a little bit harder to tackle. But he stopped by and he was wanting to try to give me an estimate for the top part of my house and trying to sell me, you know, a metal roof. And I was like, well, I'd like a metal roof, but I already put shingles here and I put shingles here and I'm not going to cover up brand new shingles. We could put shingles up there, maybe in 15, 20 years, then I'll put some shingles on there, but not right now. Or I mean, put some metal on there. So we're going to put some shingles on there. And so me and him were having a conversation in my driveway. And while we were talking, it came to spiritual things, obviously. And we started talking about the Lord. Well, it just so happened to be that he grew up in a Baptist church in Evansville. And he was talking about, you know, whenever he was a kid, he said I think he said back in like the 70s, he said the church was just, he was a teenager at the time. He said the church was just booming. He said there was just people everywhere. He said there's people getting saved. He said in the youth group, they just had tons of people. And he said they would do this and they would do that. And he said it was solid. But he said about 10 years after that pastor being there, he fell, morally speaking. And he said, and the church never really could recover after that happened. He said it was hard for the church. He said, the church is still there. He said, so he said he went back about a month ago. He said it's been years since he's been there. But he went back a month ago. He said he walked into that church there in Evansville, and he said it's about an auditorium that seats about 500 people. And he said he goes in, and there's 20 people in the service. And he says, and he looks over to his left, and this person's over here. And he looks over here, and this person's. And he says, he just looks around. And he said, he got up in the middle of the service. I don't recommend you doing this, but he got up in the middle of the service, and he walked up to the front, and he just looked around at everybody. And the preacher stopped preaching, and he said, brother, he said, do you have a problem or something going on? And he said, yeah. Everybody's sleeping. And then he looked around and he's like, what's the matter with you people? He said, why are you sleeping? And he said he had a nice little conversation with the pastor. He said even the pastor's wife was sleeping. And then my wife's not sleeping. She's looking at me right now. But he simply said to that church, your guys are sleeping. Now, they were sleeping physically. And I looked at that guy after he told me that. I was like, you know what? I said, you're just talking about the state of the church today. You know, there's some churches that are alive. There's people in them. They're looking at the pastor while he preaches, but they're not there. Their mind is so far off. And it's just like a haze is just, and we're not doing a thing for Christ. You know what? It really is disheartening whenever you have Muslims that do more than what we do. Whenever you have a homosexual crowd that pushes their agenda more than we push the truth. It's pretty disheartening whenever we see that in the day and age in which we live. The church is sleepy. The church is dozy. And I think a part of it is because we have totally lost our focus. We have totally lost our purpose. And we've let it go by the wayside. We need to determine that Calvary Baptist Church in Flora is not going to be one of those churches. that Calvary Baptist Church in Flora is not going to be a sleepy, dozy, hazy church. The Calvary Baptist Church in Flora is not going to be a church where people are just going to stare at the preacher but not really be here, or just have a nice little haze set over you where you don't do anything for Jesus Christ. This church ought to determine that's not going to be us. We're going to be different, and we're going to fulfill the purpose in which Christ has given the local New Testament church. We're going to fulfill those things in which we are supposed to fulfill. And that ought to be your heart's desire for this church, is that I'm going to do my part, and I'm going to be alive, I'm going to be awake, I'm going to be well, so that I can fulfill what Christ wants for us to fulfill. Now, before we move on, I want us to understand a few things about the local New Testament church. I want us to first off understand that the church is a group of saved, baptized believers that have voluntarily joined themselves together to worship God together and to fulfill the Great Commission together. Whenever Jesus said, "I will build my church," he wasn't saying, "I'm going to build you a building." He wasn't meaning that I'll build you a nice brick building with some nice padded pews or nice padded chairs with some air conditioning and with all these amenities that we have today. That's not what Jesus was talking about. Now, I like air conditioning. Okay, do you like air conditioning? Do you like heat in the winter? Do you like the padded chairs you're sitting in? Now, yeah, we like those things, but that is not what Jesus was saying when he said, "I'll build my church." Jesus was not saying, "I'm going to give you a building." Jesus was saying, "I'm going to give you a group of people that are going to voluntarily join themselves together." Understand, nobody made you join this church. Nobody made you come here. Nobody made you believe what you believe. You've chosen. So this church here at Calvary Baptist Church of Flora, this church is a church of a group of saved, baptized believers that you have voluntarily joined yourself together to worship God together and to fulfill the Great Commission together. That's the first thing we must understand. This is what the church is. And it's locally in each part of where there's a local group of baptized believers meeting. Secondly, we must understand that the church is not yours to own. You know, sometimes we refer and say, "Well, that's my church that I go to. That's my church," you know. And we mean good and well whenever we say those things, because we're just simply telling people, you know, "Well, that's where I go and worship God." But sometimes we take ownership of it, when really the ownership is Jesus Christ. So the Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto the, over the flock which the Holy Ghost that made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." The last I checked, I didn't purchase the church with my blood, and you didn't purchase the church with your blood, but I know somebody that did, and his name was Jesus Christ, and he purchased the church with his precious blood. He's the owner of Calvary Baptist Church in Flora. And I know that if Pastor Evans was here, he would say the same thing. He's not the owner. It's not Pastor Evans' church. It's not your church. It's Jesus' church. We also must understand that Jesus is the head of this church. Ephesians 5:23, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." This church, the main leader of this church is Jesus. That's why we're an independent Baptist church. We are self-governing. We're autonomous. Simply means that our only headquarters is in heaven, and the one that is the leader of it is Jesus Christ. That's the only one. Now, God places the leadership of the pastor, and he's to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, and as God and as Christ and headquarters leads him, then he'll lead the flock, he'll lead the church, he'll feed the flock. Those things is what a local New Testament church should be and should be doing. The Bible also says that this church right here, the one that you are sitting in, the one that you are a part of, is to be the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, it's a pretty sad day whenever people can't even come to church and find the truth. It's a pretty sad day when people go to churches and they just get a whole bunch of hogwash. And they just get a whole bunch of fluff. They get a whole bunch of stuff that doesn't even matter. My dad recently went to a church service over in Almy, and it's one of these big churches. And he went in, and he was going to be a part of the church service. He said there was probably about 200 or 300 people there. You know, there's a lot of people there. And a lot of people equate a big congregation with the power of God, which is not true, by the way. But he said there was about 200 people there, and he said he sat down, and he said they had the praise and worship team up there, and, you know, they're all beating on the drums, and, you know, they're shaking, you know, clapping their hands, you know, and all this stuff during the worship team, you know, getting everybody ready to worship. Which, by the way, that's just worshiping God in your emotions and in your flesh, which you're never commanded to do, by the way. Did you realize that you are a trichotomy? That means that you're made up of a spirit, soul, and body. You don't worship God with your body, and you don't worship God with your soul. You worship God with your spirit. The Gospel of John, Jesus said that true worshipers will worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. Your body is that fleshly body that you have. Your spirit is the only thing that communicates with God. So you don't communicate with God with your emotions. And what the worship team does is they just sit there and they just work up your emotions. And they just work you up and get you feeling good. Well, that's not worship. But my dad was in that church service and they were sitting there doing that. And he said, while he was sitting there, he said, they did that for probably about an hour or more. And he said, and finally somebody stood up and said, I'd like to ask Pastor so-and-so to come give us our message. And he said, and a guy walked up, and he's wearing khaki shorts, and he's wearing these little casual shoes and a T-shirt. Doesn't even take a Bible up to what they call the pulpit. It was really just a little bitty podium. And he stood up there and just said a couple words and just a few little stories, and 15 minutes, they were gone. And that's about what you get in a lot of places that call themselves a church today. But the church is to be the pillar and the ground of the truth, right? You're not going to find it there. But you know what you guys ought to be? You guys ought to be determined and say that if people want to know the truth, they're going to come down here to Calvary Baptist Church here in Flora. And praise God, they're going to hear the truth. Praise God, they're going to hear what the Bible says. And you know what? You have a part in that. You might say, well, the preacher's the one that preaches the Word of God. Yes, he does. But he needs a good group of people behind him, a good group of people to feed and to pastor and to minister to, so that you all can also be a part of saying, well, you know what, Brother so-and-so, he's a part of that church down there that's going to give out the truth. I can probably go ask him about what this means. You're a part of it, and people know if you're a part of it. So what's the purpose? What's the purpose of this church? And you might be thinking, well, what you're going to give me, I already know. I understand. You might already know it. But perhaps you've lost focus of it. Perhaps we need to determine that we're never going to stray away from it, and we're going to stick with these three purposes. Now, there's a lot of purposes, but I'm just going to give you three here this evening. The very first thing that every local New Testament independent fundamental Baptist church should be doing is exalting the Savior. Number one, we should be exalting the Savior. Your goal here at Calvary Baptist Church in Flora, your goal is to make Jesus' name known, is to make sure that if somebody in the community understands that if there's any place that's going to tell them about Jesus, it's got to be Calvary Baptist Church. People should know that church down there, you want to know about Jesus? Hey, that church down there, they sing about Jesus, they preach about Jesus, they talk about Jesus, they just love Jesus. That should be your reputation, is that these people are all about Jesus. The very first purpose you guys should be doing is exalting the name of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. But understand, there's even other maybe false churches out there, and they talk about the name of Jesus. You ever had a Mormon come up to you and talk about the name of Jesus? You have. They're talking about a false Jesus. You ever had a Jehovah's Witness come up to you and talk to you about a Jesus, but it's a made-up Jesus, it's a false Jesus, or maybe even some of these new evangelicals out there, even one of these Christian churches that are out there, they'll talk about Jesus, but is it really the true Jesus? And is it really doctrinally sound Jesus? You see, a local New Testament church is going to exalt Jesus' name, but you're also going to exalt Jesus' deity. You're going to make sure that people know who Jesus is. I'm not just going to say his name, but I'm also going to explain to you who Jesus is. Jesus is the Son of God, but he was also God in the flesh with me. John chapter number 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In your King James Bible, that's a capital W, isn't it? Showing his deity. Jesus wasn't just the Son of God. And by the way, the reference, whenever it refers to him as the Son of God, it's a reference to his deity. Did you realize that the Jews wanted to stone Jesus just because Jesus said he is the Son of God? The Jews understood what he meant. They understood that he was saying that God is my Father and I am the same one. I am God. And they picked up stones to stone him. Every time I've had a Mormon talk to me, that I've always brought that one up to them. Because they always want to say he's the Son of God. And I say, yeah, he is, but that's a reference to his deity. He is God. You see, this church right here that you're sitting in ought to be a church that's going to exalt Jesus, but you're also going to exalt his deity. You're also going to exalt his sinless life. You're going to exalt the fact that Jesus never sinned one time. And by the way, he couldn't sin because he's God. You're also going to exalt his crucifixion. You're going to exalt the fact that whenever he died on the cross, he shed his precious blood for my awful sin. And that he rose again the third day. Did you realize that there's so-called Christian groups out there that deny the resurrection of Christ? Which, by the way, they're not Christian groups if they deny the resurrection of Christ, because that means you have an antichrist spirit. But don't fall into that trap of just saying, yeah, we're about Jesus, but about the resurrection thing, you know, you can take it or leave it. Do you realize that's a part of the gospel? Do you realize that's a part of being saved, is you have to believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ? That's a part of it. So you're going to exalt the name of Jesus. You're going to exalt his deity. You're going to exalt his sinless life. You're going to exalt his crucifixion, his blood atonement. You're going to exalt his resurrection. You're going to make sure people know that this is a place where you can find the truth about Jesus. And we're going to lift up that name, which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, whether in heaven or whether in earth. Every knee is going to bow to it one day. But the purpose he's given to you during this church age in which we're in, by the way, we're in a church age, your purpose right now is to make sure you exalt the Savior. You don't have to exalt your name. You don't have to exalt your preacher's name. And by the way, I know he'd agree with me 100%. You just need to exalt Jesus' name. And make sure that Jesus is known. You know, so many times whenever we go out soul winning or whenever we go out somewhere, we always want to make our church name known. No, it's not a bad thing. I mean, we want people to know where they can come and they can hear the Word of God. You know, that's good. But what about making Jesus' name known first? And just tell them about who Jesus is first and say, well, if you want to know more, hey, I go to church down here at Calvary Baptist Church. You can come on down. We can tell you more about Jesus. We can tell you more about the truth. And you might be sitting there thinking, well, Brother Andy, and honestly, I think I can do better in that area. I can probably exalt the name of Jesus better. Well, that's between you and the Lord. But maybe you just need to get yourself refocused. Don't let the haze come across your eyes. Don't let the sleepy doziness come across your church to where we stop exalting the name of Jesus. So that's the very first purpose of this church. Let's look at the second purpose of this church. The second purpose of Calvary Baptist Church in Flora, Illinois, the second purpose is so that we can evangelize the sinner. Evangelize the sinner. The first one is that we exalt the name of Christ. Secondly, is that we evangelize the sinner. I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 19 real quick. Luke chapter number 19. And I want us to look at a certain passage of Scripture. It gives us the conversion of a short man, but it also gives us the reason why Jesus came. Luke chapter number 19. familiar story, a familiar passage of scripture that we look at. Luke 19, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully." One of the wisest things Zacchaeus ever did. And the Bible says, "And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guests with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood." You know, as you read those verses, it kind of gives you an implication that Zacchaeus was probably on his knees or maybe even laying prostrate on the ground. Because it says Zacchaeus stood. It kind of puts my mind's eye that he was probably bowing down to Jesus, and we know he got saved. But the Bible says, "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." The Bible gives us that great conversion of Zacchaeus. And by the way, whenever salvation comes and whenever you're truly converted, a change is made. Did you understand that Zacchaeus was a thief and he was the one that was ripping people off? But then after he met Jesus and he gets saved, now all of a sudden he's given money instead of taking money. The same thing happened with a Philippian jailer in the book of Acts. Whenever the Bible says that Paul and Silas were thrown in that jail, in that prison for preaching the Word of God, and the Bible says that they laid stripes across his back. Now, more than likely, usually the jailer was the one that would lay out the stripes. And of course, we know the story that a great earthquake came and the Lord delivered, was going to deliver them out, but Paul and Silas stayed there. And that Philippian jailer was about to kill himself. You remember, he had the sword, and he was about to kill himself. Whenever Paul and Silas cried out, he said, "Do thyself no harm, we're all here." And then that Philippian jailer went to Paul and Silas. And the Bible says, asked them that great question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And then what happened to the man? What was he doing afterwards? He got saved, he got baptized. And then in the next two verses, it says, now he is mending the stripes that he just laid on their back. That was a transformation. That was the great transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ amazes me. And it ought to amaze you. But your mission, ready? Your mission, your purpose as a local New Testament church is to evangelize and find those sinners. Trust me, there's plenty of them out there. By the way, there's plenty of them in here. I'm looking at a bunch of them. And when I look in the mirror, I'm looking at one. We're just saved sinners. They're lost sinners. You know, just yesterday, whenever we went out soul winning over there in Alney, and we were out knocking on doors, had a pretty good time. The second door that we knocked on, a man answered the door, and he was in a wheelchair. And I noticed that he had some fishing poles and, you know, some different things over there. So I just kind of talked to him about fishing a little bit. And then I asked him about a salvation. I said, you know, if you die today, do you think you'd go to heaven? And he said, well, he said, I hope so. He said, I'm a pretty good person. He said, I've never really done anything real bad. I mean, he said, but I have killed people, though. Whenever he said that, I was like, do I need to get out of here? You know, he said it was in war. He said, I was in the military. It was a Vietnam War, I believe is what he said. He said, it was in war, and I said, okay, so that's different. And then we just started talking, and I was able to share with him the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Now, he didn't get saved that day. He had a lot of different views, and a lot of different views a lot of people have, that there is no hell and that everybody goes to heaven. You know, it sounds good, but it's not right. Had a nice little conversation with him, then we moved down the road, and we just started knocking on some more doors, and got to knocking on another door, and this man was standing outside. He's an older man standing there with a cane. and went up there and started talking to him. His name was Howard. And I introduced myself and started talking to him and asked him about, you know, if you die today, would you go to heaven? And he's like, well, he said, I don't know. He said, I pray every day. And I asked him, I said, well, do you go to church? Do you have a church background? And he said, well, he said, about a year ago, he said, I used to go to the Jehovah's Witness Church over in Noble. And he said, I used to go there a long time, but now I'm sick and I can't get out. I've got pneumonia. He did look pretty bad sick. And I said, well, I said, I'm sorry about that. He said, I told him I'd pray for him, and I did. But then after I got done praying for his health issues, I gave him the gospel. I made him understand that salvation is free. You know, it's like what I like to use a lot. I like to take out a gospel track, and I said, it's just like I gave you this gospel track. I said, I didn't ask money for it, did I? I didn't say, hey, Howard, if you're good enough, I'll give you this gospel track. I didn't say, hey, Howard, you know, give me a dollar, I'll give you this gospel track. I said, it's the same way with God's salvation. God's not saying, if you're good enough, Howard, then you can get saved. Then I'll let you in. No, God's saying, I'll give it to you free. All you got to do is repent and ask me. And that day, Howard got saved yesterday. It's a blessing. It really is. He was fully understanding, and whenever he prayed, he actually started crying a little bit. I mean, it was wonderful. Now, it doesn't happen every week. That doesn't happen all the time. But that is your purpose here in this town and here in other towns, is to give out the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Jesus has entrusted us with getting the gospel out. 5 times in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus gives us what's called the Great Commission. He gives it to us once in Matthew, once in Mark, and once in Luke, and once in John, and then again in the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse number 8. He gives it to us 5 times in the New Testament. He said, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And you might be thinking, well, I can't go into all the world. No, you can't, but you can reach your Jerusalem, and then by supporting missionaries and supporting other works, you're reaching the world. And that is the purpose of this church right here, is for you to go out and to evangelize all these streets and all these houses. You know, whenever we started Lighthouse Baptist Church in Lawrenceville, I made it a goal that we were going to knock on every single door within a year. We knocked on every single door in 9 months. And everybody got the gospel in their door. Everybody got us asking them about Jesus, asking them if they're saved, and telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then after that, I said, we're going to go over to Bridgeport, and we're going to do the same thing. We got a map of Bridgeport, and we reached every single house in the city limits of Bridgeport in 6 months. And then I said, well, we're going to go over to Vincennes. The Vincennes wasn't too far from Lawrenceville, so we went over there. And now Vincennes is a lot bigger place. We would hit a few streets, and then we'd do 1 week in Vincennes, then we'd do 1 week in Lawrenceville, and then we'd do 1 week in Vincennes. We just kind of went back and forth. That way we're still reaching our own hometown. You know what? That is our mission, and that's your mission. And every single town needs to have one. Every single town needs to have a church that's going to be over there knocking on their door, because if not, the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses will be. You know, it was really sad. I was delivering over in Newton one time. I was driving the UPS truck, of course, over in Newton. And I saw the Mormon missionaries that are in Olney in Newton. Wow. I was sitting there thinking, my soul. They're not even just in Olney. They're going out into another town. I think they stole that from the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't they? But what was disheartening is how many times we don't even do that, do we? Now, I understand you don't want to go into another town of another nearby independent Baptist church that you know that they're getting the job done. You know, don't do that. I'm not telling, we're not going to come over here and knock on doors over from Olney. You're not going to go over to Olney and knock on doors. But I'm simply saying, if you've got another town, I don't know, does Louisville have an independent Baptist church in it? Go over there and knock on some doors. There's plenty of sinners over there that need the Lord, isn't there? There's a lot of nearby towns, probably smaller towns, that you can evangelize and you can go out and you can knock on doors and see who needs the Lord Jesus Christ. He has entrusted that mission, is your mission. And if you, as a local body of believers, that you've voluntarily joined yourselves together, one of those missions is to fulfill the Great Commission. It's to go out and give the gospel. And I understand, you know, sometimes, you know, whenever we first get saved, we're all fired up. We're like, yeah, let's go tell everybody. And then as time goes by, we're like, yeah, let's go tell somebody. You know, and then as time goes by, if you don't get that zeal back and you don't get that fire burning back, eventually you're, yeah. I hope somebody does it. I'm going to sit down. That's kind of sometimes how we get. And guess what happens? That nice little haze goes. And eventually you could find yourself just like that church I told you in Evansville. It's just everybody sleeping. Yeah, you might physically still be here, but you're not here. And you're not taking part of your fulfillment of that purpose of this church. So the very first purpose of Calvary Baptist Church over here in Flora, to exalt the name of our Savior. Make sure people know that you guys exalt the name of Jesus. The second thing you ought to be doing is evangelizing the sinner. Making sure that those that are around here, those that are neighbors, those that are just in streets across the town, and even maybe even smaller towns that might be around you, that they're going to know that this church is going to come by, and we're going to knock on your door, and we want to know, are you saved or not? You know, some people will say, well, that's none of your business. Well, you know what? That is our business, because the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave us that commission. You might say, well, what if the authorities tell you you can't do it anymore? Do it anyway. Because mark it down, and I'm not a prophet, by the way. There is no prophets as far as in the foretelling sense. I can't sit there and tell you what's going to happen in the future. But by the way things are going, I'm going to venture to guess that that will probably be illegal eventually. Just like how I preached to you this morning and I mentioned homosexuality is an abomination, and I read to you the book of Romans, chapter number 1, verse 26 and 27, I'm going to venture to say, probably maybe here soon, that if they heard me say that, they would put me in jail for hate speech. It's going to happen, probably. And they're going to start putting preachers in jail just for saying some things like that, what the Bible says. But are you still going to do it? You should. I should. Regardless of, by the way, and I understand sometimes we get so patriotic that we think that we're supposed to obey the laws of the land all the time. And yes, we should obey the laws of the land. I'm not telling you to disobey the laws. I will tell you to disobey the law if it disobeys God's word. If God's word says something different, well, I'm going to take God's word over whatever the law of the land is. Now, we can be wise as a serpent and we can figure things out. But let's determine we're still going to fulfill the purposes of the local church. Understand, the first century church didn't have all of these luxuries we have. The first century church didn't have cars and planes and trains and computers and things where we can send out things just worldwide. But yet they got the job done. I mean, when Paul came to a certain city, the Bible says that these are the ones that turned the world upside down. And yet we've got all this stuff and we not turning the world upside down at all. Really, the world's turning us upside down. And it's because we've lost our purpose. So the very first thing, exalt the name of the Savior, exalt Jesus Christ. The second thing, evangelize the sinner. The third thing, and it's very important, and don't forget this one either, edify the saint. Edify the saint. You see, this local body of believers, we're not just for evangelizing. That's one of our purposes, but we're also so that we can build up people that's right here. Ephesians chapter number 4, turn with me there real quick. I want to show you something. Ephesians chapter number 4, I want to show you what God has given your church specifically to fulfill this purpose. God has given you a gift, and that's what God says about it. That's what God says about this office. He says it's a gift. And he has given you this gift to fulfill this purpose. Are you ready? Ephesians chapter number 4. Look at verse number 11. The Bible says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now these are going to be those gifts that God is going to give the local New Testament church. Now obviously we don't have apostles anymore. We don't have prophets anymore. But we do have evangelists and we have pastors and we have teachers. And he says, I'm going to give you these gifts. I'm going to give you an evangelist. Now, those of you in here, there's some evangelists that you know. They're a gift from God to fulfill this purpose. And then it says, pastors, your pastor is a gift from God. And God has given you your pastor to fulfill this purpose, this third purpose, which is to edify the saints. And then the teachers. Now, the word pastor and teacher in this sense is put together. Every pastor is to be a teacher, but not every teacher is supposed to be a pastor. And God has also gifted you with teachers. Now, there's some men in here, you have the gift of teaching. And he has given you that gift so that you can edify the believers in which God has given you. Some of you ladies, maybe you have the gift of teaching to teach little children. And he has given you that gift to edify them. The word edify means to be built up. It means to be matured. And he has given you those so that you can use them to fulfill this third purpose, which is to edify the believer. Why do you think we sing songs like what we sing? Do you think that those songs are for lost people? No, that they probably, that sometimes, you know, we sing, are you washed in the blood? You know, a lost person hears that, they're like, washed in the blood? That's nasty. But the believer knows what that means. The believer fully understands what that means. I'm washed by the blood of Jesus. His blood has washed away all of my sin. Why do you think we sing that? To build us up. To make sure that the believers, the ones that are saved, the ones that are born again, the ones that are baptized, the ones that know the Lord Jesus Christ, are edified and are built up. And so here in Ephesians 4, he says, I'm giving you apostles, prophets, evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And then verse 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He's saying, I'm giving you that gift to edify you, to mature you, to make sure that you get edified in the faith. And then he says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. He says, how long is it going to happen? I mean, how long are we going to have pastors always up here talking about stuff? How long are we going to have teachers up there just teaching all the time? How long are we going to have evangelists, you know, running around and spitting in our face sometimes? It says, till we come to heaven. Because he's given those for a purpose. To edify us, to mature you, to mature me, so that we could be built up in our walk with Jesus Christ. And you might be thinking, well, Brother Andy, I'm not a pastor. Gotcha. Not everybody's one. You might be thinking, well, Brother Andy, I'm not even a teacher. Gotcha. But you know what you can do? You can still edify each other. Now, you don't have to sit there and get yourself a nice little podium and say, all right, I'm going to open up the Bible, I'm going to edify you. You listen to me while I edify you. No, you know what you do? Give somebody some nice encouraging words. Write somebody a nice encouraging note. You might notice that somebody might be a little bit down that day. Go over there, just give them a smile, say, hey, brother, you know, I'm praying for you, and actually pray for them. I see that you're down a little bit today. You know, is there anything I can do for you? There's lots of ways how you can edify each other. Now, as far as the maturing in the faith, that's your preacher's job. That's the evangelist's job. That's your teacher's job. But as far as edifying each other, as far as building each other up, that's your job. I like a couple words that I heard Dr. David Gibbs say one time, and it's kind of funny, you know, coming from him because he's this big scholarly lawyer. You know, if you ever heard him preach, you know what I mean. And he said these words. He said, "Don't be a hope sucker outer, but be a hope putter inner." I was like, oh, that was pretty good words there. Don't be a hope sucker outer. Don't be the one that every time you come around, everybody's like, "Oh, I'm so glad I was around you. You made me feel great today." Yeah, you know, I'm being sarcastic, by the way. And you kind of walk around like, "Wow, they really sucked my hope out of my life." Or you could be the hope putter inner and just say, hey, you know, it's possible. You could do it. Come on. You got it. You know, I really enjoyed what you said there. I seen, you know, and you can do a lot of things just by simply edifying somebody, building somebody up instead of sucking that hope out of them. Don't be a hope sucker outer, but a hope putter inner. If that's the only thing you remember of the message, I guess just remember that part. I remember that. Be a hope putter in her. So, dear church, I'm just simply asking you, do you know your purpose? Are you fulfilling that purpose? Are you going to determine that Calvary Baptist Church here in Flora is going to be a place where Jesus' name is known, where people know that if they're going to come here, they're going to hear about the name of Jesus. They're going to hear him sung. They're going to hear him taught. They're going to hear about him preach. They're going to know that this place loves Jesus. And are you going to fulfill the second purpose about evangelizing the sinners? And you're going to go out of your way, and sometimes you're going to have to sacrifice things. I understand. Sometimes we have things to do on Saturday. Does anybody have anything to do on Saturdays? Oh, yeah, I do too. Everybody does. Then you know what? Hey, go out on Friday. Go out on Sunday afternoon. You might say, well, that'll take away my nap. Take away a nap, then go. I don't know. Figure something. I like to take Sunday afternoon naps too. Go out on a Tuesday, Monday, you know, whatever. It doesn't have to be Saturday. Evangelize the sinner. Then make sure that you fulfill the last one. Edifying the saint. Your preacher does that every week, and you ought to thank God for it that you have one. There's lots of towns with churches in it that doesn't have one. There's lots of towns that don't have any type of a good independent Baptist church in it. And Lord willing, this is what I just gave to you tonight is what we're going to plant in Mount Carmel. Actually, I laid out this purpose whenever we started the church in Lawrenceville. And this is going to be the same purpose whenever we start the church in Mount Carmel. These three things, we're keeping it simple. Those three things, and of course there's a lot of other things, King James Bible, you know, we believe in the doctrine, you know, all those other things. But this ought to be your purpose. And maybe you're in here and you've noticed that I've lost focus of it. I knew it before, but maybe you've got a little lax. Maybe you've got a little sleepy. Maybe you've got a little dozy. Well, maybe it's time to put it on the altar and wake up. And determine, I'm not going that way no longer. But I'm going to make sure that Calvary Baptist Church has a church member in it that's going to exalt the Savior, edify the sinner, or evangelize the sinner, and edify the saint. I'd like everybody to stand and bow your heads and close your eyes, please. Stand and bow your heads and close your eyes. We're going to give a hymn of invitation. We're not going to sing, but as soon as the music begins is when the altar will be open. Maybe you're in here and you're just going to say, Brother Andy, I need to get on that altar and I just need to examine my own purpose, the purpose that I'm supposed to be fulfilling in this church and I haven't been. Or maybe you want to come and kneel and pray. And maybe you know of places that need one. Hey, we'll pray for one. Whatever the Lord has laid on your heart, I want to encourage you, obey, and obey quickly. Don't wait. Don't wait till another day to do and obey what the Lord's laid on your heart now. Do it now. I'm going to pray. As soon as I'm done praying, the music will begin to play and the altar will be open. Dear Lord, we come before you, and I thank you so much for your word. I thank you, Lord, for what we looked at tonight. And Lord, I do pray for Calvary Baptist Church over here in Flora. I pray, Lord, that every single person that calls themselves a church member here will determine to do these three purposes and that they will lift these three up and fulfill these three that they are supposed to do here in this local body that you have placed them in. But Lord, I just pray that whatever you've laid on their heart, that they will kneel at the altar, they'll give it to you and say yes to you today. Lord, I love you and I do pray that you'll bless this invitation as we give it. In Jesus' name, amen.